started.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday, Rule Breakers. Welcome to another amazing episode of No Rules, Just Mics. We are the No Rules radio show that's bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know. I am broadcasting live from a very remote location, my bedroom. And not in my bedroom, thankfully, is Christian and Chris Burson. How are you guys doing tonight?
First of all, you would want us there. Second of all, I'm doing great. Happy to be back on after a week off. Excited to be back with the Rule Breakers. How are you doing today, Mr. Burson?
Well, I am too. Also glad that I am not in Topher's bedroom. Not only
Liar.
Would that be super, but yeah, no. It's I am enjoying life, and I'm enjoying this beautiful, beautiful thing called daylight savings time. And I know we were talking about it right before the air. And I'm in the minority here, but I love having light later on in the day.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm on board with you there. I think Topher was more upset, and, you know, you can explain it more, Topher, but probably just your body is just thrown off as far as your internal clock.
You know, you'd think that it's just an hour. It's not going to be a big deal, but holy crap. Like, I have been more exhausted, more worn out than ever. And normally it hits me for like a day or two, but this is like day four, and
yeah.
Like I'm ready just to crawl in bed. That's why I'm in bed. I'm ready just to close my eyes and just go to bed. I've been sleeping the same amount of time. I've been doing my same ritual, but I'm just exhausted. I hate that. I hate that feeling. And the same thing happens when daylight saving ends. It's everything just kind of gets thrown off. I'm not a farmer. I don't need the daylight saving time at all. I don't need it to start. I just need it to just be. Whatever this is, where we get light more, I'm fine with that. But I hate this back and forth thing. That's how I feel.
It seems like we just fell back. This is the quickest I can remember. Just, I mean, it feels that way to me anyway. You know,
it's getting shorter.
Yeah, it felt like there was a big difference between when we fall back and spring ahead. And for me, it just felt like really quick this time.
Well, I think it's typically like later in March where it falls, our spring's back forward. And I don't know if, I think there was something with like George Bush that passed something to make it earlier. I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm enjoying it nonetheless.
Yeah, you would. Because you don't live on the coast.
That is true. I do not live on the coast.
No, you live by Peoria.
I do live by Peoria. Which, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the state of Illinois, it's, if you could look at the middle of the state of Illinois, it's a little bit above the middle. So it's nowhere near Chicago. For those people that are thinking Chicago, it's nowhere near there, like 2.5 hours southwest.
But we're going to talk about your state in just a few minutes. But I want to, of course, mention our website, myuncensoredradio.com, where you can find the most amazing things about Uncensored Radio, about your guilty pleasures, about No Rules, Just Mics, and about Jake Pentland. We have our podcast via iTunes, all thanks to Chris Burson for getting that up every week. I really appreciate it.
That's what she
and
said.
Now,
yeah.
That's an awful, that's what she said.
Chris Burson gets it up every week.
Oh. No, that's a really good one. I missed it. All right.
Wow.
This week is knocking me on my ass. Knocking me on my ass. I'm sorry. We're going to play a quick game of Never Have I Ever, but I want to throw it to the Holy City Center to give us some updates as to what's going on in Charleston.
All right. Yes, HolyCityCenter.com, your place for all things Charleston. And a whole crap load of things. It was busy last weekend with Wine and Food Festival. Thought maybe it'd slow down this weekend, but not at all, because it is St. Patrick's Day weekend. So after Friday, which, you know, has plenty of plans, but nothing really St. Patty's related. You know, just a few bars are doing some stuff. There's some plays, of course, you know, your concerts, the typical things. But tomorrow is 314. Some people call it Pi Day, as in 3.14. So a couple places around town. Kitchen 208 is having Pi Day, where they'll be having discounted chicken pot pies starting at 11 a.m. until I believe they close at like 3. And then the Mellow Mushroom has some different deals going on tomorrow as well, based around the pricing of 3.14 pizza pies, the whole thing. So kind of a fun little weird thing that, you know, happens on the 14th of March. Outside of that, nothing too crazy going on, just a lot of the typical things. On Saturday, that's when everything picks up with St. Patrick's Day. If you go hard when it comes to your St. Paddy's celebrations, Mad River is a place to be. They're opening the doors at 9 a.m. on Saturday for Kegs and Eggs. First 100 people get T-shirt and some stupid Kanye West-looking sunglasses. If that's your thing, rock it out, whatever. That's definitely the spot to be. Later in the day, places like Madre Rua will have, in Somerville, they're going to have, you know, Irish food, Irish drink specials. Park Circle in North Charleston is going to have their huge block party and parade, which I went to last year. It was a lot of fun. Folly Beach is going to have their pub crawl starting at noon. I mean, just Avondale is debuting a block party for the first time on St. Patrick's Day. The list just goes on and on and on. If you're not into the drunken revelry, there is a record expo at Monster Music at 10 a.m. Go pick up some new vinyl, really cheap vinyl as well. There's going to be tons and tons of stuff out there. There's also Stingray's home game, so there's ways to avoid all the drunken debauchery if that's not your scene. On Sunday, what better way to kick the hangover than a little hair of the dog? Everything gets started again around 11 o'clock. Places are going to be open, still doing some St. Patrick's Day type, you know, parties and discounts and things of that nature, which will lead you into Monday, which is the actual St. Patty's Day. So there's even more events that day. I mean, seriously, I could talk for the whole hour about how many plans are. It's ridiculous how much this town celebrates the holiday. We're not even one of the bigger cities. Places like Boston and Savannah to the south of us, and even Chicago, do some pretty huge St. Patrick's Day celebrations. But we're doing it pretty big. For the full list of events, HolyCityCenter.com/event. That's where you can find everything for this weekend and beyond here in the Holy City. So that's what's going on this weekend, guys. Burson, Chicago, don't they turn the river green in the middle of the city on St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, they do. They got this little boat that drives around, makes everything all green. I've never been up there during the St. Patrick's Day celebration, so I don't know if they do. I don't know if they go like all out like Boston does. But, yeah, I do know they turn the river in Chicago green.
In Savannah, I went to Savannah once, and it was just insane. You know, just people drinking in the streets. They're just everywhere. Bars are open all day. They have a parade. It's just so many people there. It's insane. So I can't imagine what Boston is with all those Irish Catholic Southie types that are up there. It's got to be out of this world, but Savannah does it pretty big. For a southern city, they do a pretty good job with the St. Paddy's celebration. I definitely recommend trying it if you're ever in the area, you know, before you get too old. But, yeah, I mean, if you're turning a whole river green in Chicago, I would imagine it's a pretty good celebration.
Agreed. I don't know. I know that Charleston used to – it wasn't Charleston. Savannah used to do it, but apparently the food coloring was affecting the fish, so I think they stopped doing that. But I don't know. The funny thing
There's nothing growing in the Chicago River. Trust me.
Oh well, then by all means, green it up. The funny thing that I find about St. Patrick's Day is that America goes apeshit over St. Patrick's Day, but the Irish don't celebrate it at all.
Right.
It's not even a holiday for them. It's just a day, which I find very interesting. So, nonetheless,
Nonetheless, I will be celebrating.
What are your plans for St. Patrick's Day?
I'm probably going to go to the Somerville Majorua, where I always go, for my St. Patrick's Day festivities.
Should have guessed.
You should have. I don't even know why you asked. How insulting. I thought we knew each other. I thought we went there. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Oh, no, we had plans. I think we had plans to go somewhere eventually, but I think somebody didn't want to go, or somebody had sand somewhere, or I don't know. Something like that.
I had a gay pride parade to go to, and you don't piss gays off.
Okay. That's true.
So, I'm just saying. Could have done it, but I'd rather not be ostracized by my kind, you know? It's bad. It looks awful when you go to parties. They look at you, it's like, oh, that was a bastard. I left us for a straight person. It's just not good. Real quick before we get into a quick Never Have I Ever, Ryan Lill's new single, Kerosene, is going to be dropping on April 1st. You can get it on iTunes, CDBaby.com, and everywhere you can buy your music. That's it, anywhere you can buy your music. I don't know if you guys have heard his first single coming out, but it's really good. It's really good. Kerosene, I really like. It's more of like a kind of subdued... I don't even know how to describe the vibe. It's really, really good. I'll have to let you two listen to it when we get off the air. But it's a really, really good song. I like it.
What just happened?
I thought that was his song. I was like, this cannot be his song.
No. I did kind of think
that was the segue into the song. I was like, that's a single. Uh-oh.
No, I was trying to segue into the Never Have I Ever. So I was looking up the games trivia button on our panel, and that's what came up. So I'm going to have to try to find something else. That was just awful.
Yeah, that's a veto.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Rule Breakers. That was terrible.
That's so funny.
I'm like, oh, crap. It's already 2 seconds into that. I can't turn it off now.
Yeah. Just let that one go.
All right. Strike one for me. Okay, Christian, you start. Never Have I Ever.
Oh, shit.
You're the one that wanted to do it, You wanted to do it.
No, I think you're confusing Never Have I Ever with the other game we used to play.
Would you rather?
Oh, we can do that one, too. Do you guys want the music? I'm
vastly unprepared for that.
Okay.
Well, Never Have I Ever would be good if it was a drinking game. Then I could just go nice and easy here. But now I feel I have to step up the game. So I guess what I'll do is I'll say it Never Have I Ever, and then you guys have to tell me if you have done it or not. Is that the idea here?
Yes, I think. Yes.
Okay.
We'll go with yes.
All right, so that's what we'll do. All right. Never have I ever stolen something.
That's it? Yes.
That's all I could come up with.
Goodness. What about you, Chris Burson?
Stolen anything?
Yeah. Virginity doesn't count.
Ooh.
Oh.
I cannot say that I have never.
Oh.
What'd you steal? Where'd he go?
He stole the collective hearts of Illinois, the ladies of Illinois.
No, so in Mom, get off the phone. So no, back in grade school, we would always go to the Casey's gas station, and one of my buddies dared me to steal some candy that was there, and surprisingly enough, it was stupid easy to do.
Nice.
Well, enjoy hell.
No, right? I feel like I should go back and give him some money and just lay it on the table and walk out now.
Well, that would
hey,
just
why not?
Be awkward.
This
that
is
awkward.
This is from my 31-year-old self repaying for my 10-year-old self.
There you go.
I think there's like a statute of limitations, or not a statute of limitations, there's like a window of opportunity that you have to pay something back. And I think you just missed that line. So I think you're good. I don't think you need to
okay,
return
so,
it.
So 21 years is way too long?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. The chances of St. Clark being there, it's just, you know, at this point, why bother?
Yeah, so I'm not going to
be... Yay! Well, not for that anyway. I don't know if you guys remember Canada, what is it, Clearly Canadian? Loved that stuff. I like the black cherry one was my favorite. They have it out now still, but since September 11th, they changed it to Clearly American, and it's just not the same.
Oh.
There's something about the Canada water that it is so good. I really, really like it, but the black cherry one is my favorite.
They didn't just change the name. They actually changed, like, the recipe or something?
Yeah, it's not the same thing anymore.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't even think I've seen it in the stores before. I mean, not before. I mean, in a long time. That's crazy.
Yeah, they back when they were going to have Freedom Fries, they had Clearly American.
Right. Freedom.
And Clearly Canadian just isolated itself back to Canada. But it was
Canada.
I loved it so much.
Yeah, I liked it too. It was good.
My favorite. This is such a lame never have I ever.
I know. Well, I was not prepared for this at all. I apologize.
All right, we're just going to have to skip this because you guys can be better prepared. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
okay. Earlier we were talking about Illinois and how they want to, keep their – if there is it a lake that's up there?
The river.
Chicago
River? The river, yeah.
The river, yeah. They wanted to paint it green. There's something on the Huffington Post that I thought was hysterical is what is the one weirdest thing about your state? And it listed all 50 states, and you can go to HuffingtonPost.com and look for it, or we can post it in the chat room. But I thought we should hit the ones that, you know, that we're from or that we currently live in. So my favorite one is Connecticut, so I'm going to leave that one for last. South Carolina, apparently, I laughed out loud at my desk at work. I died. I said, there's no way. But I read the article. It was hysterical. For South Carolina, all of us South Carolinians that are here, minus person, apparently there's an island full of wild monkeys off the coast of Beaufort, and it's nothing but monkeys, which I thought was kind of weird. I had no idea. I had no idea that monkeys were indigenous to South Carolina. So... I had to look it up, and apparently, see if I can find that article real quick. Apparently,
Okay, go ahead.
They're called rhesus monkeys. R-H-E-S-U-S. If it's pronounced something different, I'm sorry. They originally moved to the island in 1979 for research purposes, and they're owned by the NIH, National Institutes of Health. So I'm wondering if that's where they get the monkeys for research. Illinois, the state was home to a completely different Burger King before the Burger King chain, which I don't know if you call that interesting news, but it's news nonetheless. You know, I should already have this stuff pulled up. But how far are you away from Mattoon?
From Mattoon?
Yeah.
Probably about 15.
Okay. Well, have you ever eaten at the original Burger King?
No, I have not. But I would assume now they would have some sort of like copyright where Burger King, like actual true Burger King chain franchise, would have put them under for having the same name, maybe?
Well, the Mattoon Burger King actually sued to be able to operate as the only Burger King in Illinois, but they were foiled in court, according to the Huffington Post. The Burger King chain
bastard.
Is still not allowed to operate within 20 miles of the restaurant, which I'd call that a win.
Yeah, so they need to stay on their ground, which is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rare to not find a Burger King within 20 miles of another one, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and it was, it became, I think it was the statewide trademark in 1959, if I'm not mistaken. So they've been around for a long time. If you look at the Huffington Post website, their signage is a little lackluster, but they serve Coca-Cola, so I'm in.
Maybe I'll have to go
New
and
York?
Take a picture there.
Yes, yes. And have it put on shirts. New York, referring to the city as quote-unquote Gotham, was originally supposed to be an insult. Why do you say? Well, I'm not sure. I'm from there, and I never heard of that, so this is news to me.
I read the article a couple days ago, and I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly, but it's like super old slang that I forget what group was calling New Yorkers this. But Gotham is actually like a shortened version of some bigger, longer word that meant like goat's head or something ridiculous.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Meant
so
to
medieval
be an
English.
Yeah.
Medieval English used to call it goat's town. And
goat's
it was populated by simple-minded fools, according to the HuffPost. And it was Washington Irving that kind of, he wrote the stories of Rip Van Winkle and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, period. But he was also the first person to use the term Knickerbocker with New Yorkers. And I've never heard of that name either. So apparently I'm not a true New Yorker.
You ever hear of the New York Knicks basketball team?
I've heard of them.
The New York Knicks, who play in New York in Madison Square Garden. Knicks is short for Knickerbocker. That's their actual team name. I don't know what it means. I've looked it up before. But, yeah, they are originally the New York Knickerbockers, and they shortened it to the New York Knicks.
Well, there you go. You learned something new.
There you go.
City
you
every
learned
day.
Something today.
I feel like we just did a PSA announcement.
The more you know.
The more you know.
A shooting rainbow in the star. Yep.
Yes. Let's break it down to Connecticut.
Woo!
I laughed so hard. Connecticut, a cat was once sentenced to house arrest for terrorizing a neighborhood.
As all cats should be, damn it.
Yes. Huffington Post says, in 2006, a tomcat named Lewis was put on house arrest after attacking an Avon representative selling products in the Connecticut town of Fairfield. Lewis's owner, Ruth Cicero, claimed that her cat only attacked because he was under a lot of stress from being tormented by egg and water-throwing neighbors. A judge ruled in 2008 that Lewis was safe and free to once again roam the streets of Fairfield.
I think the judge was onto something, because I've heard somewhere that cats are just out to rule the world and they're plotting our human demise. So maybe he was just trying to curb the cat overthrow.
Probably. Or he hates Avon, is what I'm getting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Possible.
I love the part where, or the explanation for the cat being so bitchy was that he was being tormented by egg and water throwing neighbors. Who does that? What kind
apparently
of 12-year-old?
Apparently the kids
live
in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Those crazy kids.
And those Connecticut people, I swear, you nutmeggers.
They're a pretty awesome bunch normally. Those guys must have been from out of state.
From Ohio.
Probably.
What's that?
Probably came from Ohio.
Ohio. What does Ohio have except bankruptcy? Did I pass Ohio? I passed Ohio. I know how to spell Ohio. Oh, wow. I was looking under the eyes. That's awful. So Ohio, the state wasn't officially admitted into the Union until 1953 because of a technicality. The United States Congress failed to go through with all the motions of recognizing Ohio as an official state when it was first recognized in 1803. Congress recognized the state in 1953 after the error was discovered, but decided to retroactively make it the official founding date reflected in the original year. That's why Ohio is Ohio. That's all I'm going to say.
Wasn't it earlier or late last year? Maybe it was early last year. When Mississippi or something was a southern state, like Mississippi or Alabama, technically hadn't, because of a weird loophole like that, they hadn't abolished slavery yet. There was some weird loophole where obviously they hadn't, they didn't have slaves when the rest of the country agreed to it. But, yeah, there's some technicality where they really could have if they wanted to that was discovered by someone.
Yes, I do remember that. I think that was when we were talking about the crazy laws that our states have. And I think that was one of them,
right.
Is that the state didn't abolish slavery, so you can still own slaves, which is quite awful.
Unless anyone
to go,
wants to own slaves, you can no longer do that, however.
Well, you shouldn't. It's cruel.
That's
it's just a bad thing.
Don't let Topher encourage you. It's still illegal in that state.
I wasn't encouraging. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just messing.
Before Chris Burson has to go, because I know that he has, he was gracious enough to come on the show for the first half hour. But before he does leave, I want to talk about, apparently there's this thing called Tinder. T-I-N-D-E-R. I don't know much about it, but now you can hook up with a celebrity, among other people. But this article just refers to celebrities, so that's what we're going to talk about. Again, the HuffPost, I swear I should work for these people. The Huffington Post says that Tinder is going to help you hook up with your famous celebrities, and apparently Lindsay Lohan's face is all over this place. It says, all of us, quote-unquote, normals have to sign into Tinder via Facebook, and it uses our Facebook photos and information to match us up with people. It's not so easy for famous people, though. Sometimes celebrities use different names on Facebook. Rad tells The Hollywood Explorer. They will allow celebrities to enter Tinder in a different way. Whether or not actual celebrities end up using Tinder and get verified is a different story, but you have the ability to hook up with celebrities like Lindsay Lohan, and semi-celebrities like Jamie Kennedy have spoken about using the app. So you might actually be able to meet some famous people on there. We don't have to go into all the details of this, but what are your guys' thoughts? If you can go out on a date, or they're saying hook up, if you could hook up with a celebrity, which one would it be?
Oh, for me, hands down, my girl is always, well, not always, but for years has been Olivia Wilde, unfortunately married to the hilarious Jason Sudeikis and about to pop out a baby. But in a perfect world, that would be the celebrity hookup, is Olivia Wilde, no doubt about it.
Wow, that's pretty convincing.
Oh, yeah.
He's thought about that one.
No,
what about you, Chris Burson?
I don't know. I'm weird because I can be attracted to someone, but if you start talking and you're very ignorant or ditzy, I lose all interest. So all of your attractiveness just gets thrown right out the window, and I've lost it. But if I had to go on looks alone, I have a soft spot in my heart for Hayden Panettiere, and I know she's younger, but still, she is delicious.
She is, you're right.
She's delicious.
Also about to be married, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah, to a Russian boxer.
Yeah,
like
Vladimir
Klitschko. Five or six, six. There you go, yeah. Big guy. I don't want to make him mad. Sorry, sorry.
Topher did not specify they had to be single. Ergo, she's all yours.
True,
well,
true.
These are people who are going to be on this Tinder app. So, I mean, I guess you have to kind of think of it that way. That if these are celebrities who are going to be on the staff, they should be single. But not necessarily.
Quote, unquote, should be.
Right.
That's why I said they should be. But not necessarily. I don't know who this semi-celebrity Jamie Kennedy is, but I love how they call him a semi-celebrity. I don't know who he is.
He I know he is. He's a comedian. I was never a huge fan. I'm trying to think of something he was on that most people would know, but I can't even. I think he had some MTV show for a little while. I don't even remember, honestly. If you look him up on, you know, Google, you may recognize him. He's one of those guys who's, like, been in a bunch of stuff, but he's never really been super huge. But you know who I heard was on Tinder from an interview he was doing with Howard Stern. Do you guys watch Modern Family?
Yes.
I do not know.
No. Okay. Well, the guy who plays Cameron, who is one of the guys, the gay couple on the show. There's Mitch, who's like the skinnier guy with the beard. He's Cameron, a little bit bigger. He's straight in real life, but he's on Tinder and he was telling Stern about it. And, you know, the same thing you were saying, Topher, like, oh, do people recognize you sometimes? He said, yeah. He's like, so do you try to stay away from those people? And he's like, oh, not necessarily. And he said that he used Tinder to hook up with girls, like, a bunch. So apparently the app, not only, like you said, Topher, apparently, like, matches you with people, like, you know, like a dating site, but it's also, like, people that are nearby. I think you can say you're interested or that you're ready to roll right then and there. So yeah, he said he's been able to pick up a lot of girls from it. And I actually last night went to go see Aziz Ansari, a comedian. He's on Parks and Rec as well. He was here in Charleston. Hilarious show. Great job. Moshe Kasher opened. He was funny. But anyways, most of Aziz's act was like his Netflix special. I mean, completely different jokes, but same topic, which is dating in the modern world, differences, you know, with having technology and, you know, texting and all that from the past. But anyway, he brought up Tinder. And, you know, so it's definitely something celebrities. He said he had it for a little bit but didn't really like it. So, yeah, celebrities are definitely out there and on it. It's like an easy way for them to find somebody that hopefully doesn't know who they are. But I'm sure they don't mind the low-hanging fruit sometimes.
A little hanging fruit? Is that what you said?
Yep, low-hanging fruit.
I don't know what that means.
You never heard that saying before?
No. No, that sounds like some kind of sexual innuendo, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Well, it's not normally, but in this situation, low-hanging fruit would be people that were the easiest to get. So it inadvertently became sexual, but low-hanging fruit is usually like whatever's easiest to get. I know Burston probably knows it because we used to use that as a term in the retail world quite a bit, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that's what it means. Just something that's easy to get. You don't have to put a lot of effort into it.
Interesting. Huh. I'm going to have to check this little Tinder thing out.
Oh, you're going to get in trouble.
No, I...
Does that mean you're going to try and find your celebrity hookup? Because you still haven't said yours, I don't think, right?
No, that's true. You have not.
No, I have not. I have not. And I don't think it's appropriate for me to, anyway.
So we can all be vulnerable, but not Topher.
Nope.
I can't be vulnerable. Of course I can be
vulnerable.
Nobody really knows of him, and I guess you can call him a semi-celebrity, but it would be Ben Cohen, who is a former rugby player that now founded an organization to stand up against bullying. And he is wow. I mean, yeah. So now that I'm embarrassed, so that's who my celebrity hookup is. And if I can't get him, then it would be... What? Yes. Yeah. If it can't be him, then it's that guy. Shut the hell up. I will hang up on you so fast. Speaking of kissy-kissy, yes, there was these videos all over Facebook the other day, and normally I'm not a Facebook video clicker because I just don't have the time to watch stupid stuff, but the caption says 20 strangers kiss for the first time. So I became interested. So on Huffington Post, yet again, they had this photographer had, oh, God, what the hell was her name, had 20 strangers paired off,
And the first thing she told him was, I want you to go ahead and kiss this person. It was a filmmaker. Her name was Tasia Pileva, P-I-L-E-V-A. But it was a quick, short film, and like it literally like, you know, 6 minutes. But when she paired them off, and they were all, it was kind of like one group of people at a time. So it was like these two people she would film, and then these two people. It wasn't like a big room of just a bunch of people kissing. When she asked them to kiss, you can definitely tell how it was uncomfortable. And they were smiling, they were bashful, they were probably a little embarrassed and nervous, but how they kind of warmed themselves up. You know, they did some small talk, they said, you have really pretty eyes, there was some touching, and then they were able to kiss. And it wasn't just like a peck on the lips, it was like a full-blown, you know, make-out session. And it got me thinking, I was like, you know, that's kind of beautiful. Weird, but I thought it was kind of beautiful. What were your thoughts? Had you guys seen the video, or do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Two things. Number one, I'm going to ruin some people's view of that video, unfortunately. After it went viral and became this big deal, the filmmaker admitted that the whole film was just an advertisement that they were making for a clothing company. So it wasn't some fancy art piece. If you actually, the Huffington Post article, even if you scroll down, they have a little update, and it says that. Now, with that said, they were strangers.
That wasn't fair. It was not fair when I put this up. I was so mad.
That's what I'm saying. They let it go viral, and once it became a huge deal, they updated the story. Like, she put on Twitter, the filmmaker, and said it was an advertisement. So some of those people may have known each other, but, you know, because they're all actors, but they're paid actors, so they, you know, they're basically, yeah, they're doing the kissing thing, but they probably knew what they were getting into. So yeah, it's a little bummer. It's a little bit of a bummer. But you know, there's still some truth to it, because they're actors and they didn't necessarily know each other, and they might have known what they were signing up for. But yeah, they weren't complete strangers kicked off the street. They were just like, okay, I'll do this. So yeah, a little bit of a bummer to hear that later, because I know people were all stoked about it. But
that's
as for me,
terrible.
I know I was a non-actor, and that kind of thing came up, assuming I was single, of course. I don't think I would be able to do it anyway, so I guess it doesn't really matter. It would just be way too weird for me if someone was like, hey, I'm working on a project, or whatever she supposedly said. You just got to kind of make out with this random person that you just met. It would just be way too awkward for me, even if I had, like, a physical attraction to that person, that I just met them, I don't know anything about them, and some weirdo with a camera wants to film me making out with them. So if it was a real thing, I don't know if I would be able to do it, given that circumstance. But that's if it was real.
If it was real, I think, and I was single, I think I could do it. Because I think I could do it. Not that I'm a whore or anything, but I just think that, I don't know, you know, it's a different way to get to know somebody, and provided that everybody was screened and cleaned and, you know, there's no risk of getting anything, if you know what I mean. Like, if it was like
you had
a galley, it's one thing, but if it's in like a photo studio, like, you know, then I think it's a different thing. You know, hey, we're doing a photo shoot about love. We'd love for you to be a part of it. And then it's, all right, you know, we need you to kiss this person. I think it'd be awkward at first, but I would probably do what these people did, is I'd probably try to at least find out what their name was. Or, you know, try to find some kind of common ground instead of just, you know, attacking this person by kissing them.
Right. I don't know their name. I don't know anything about them. I never saw them again in my life. It would be big for a pretty big story. But given what you just said, what if you were even attracted to the person? Like, not at all, just, like, not attracted. But, again, it's not like you're at a bar and this person's asking you to make out, where you can just be like, no, I'm not attracted to you. But this is, like, this project thing, or whatever it was supposedly about. Would that change your thought process, or would you have to be at least a little attracted to that?
I'd love to get an actor, you know, somebody who's acted and who has kissed on film, to kind of you give us some insight, because I think I still could do it because I think it would, it's not because, I wouldn't do it because I'm attracted to them. I would do it because it would be a study, it would, or, you know, if it were set
right.
up that way, I couldn't go up to somebody in a bar and just kiss them. I couldn't do that. That would just, I would have to have some kind of attraction to you. But if there is a stipulation that, you know, the reason why we're doing this is for this, I think I could kind of get into, I guess, a different frame of mind. And that's why I think somebody who's
gotcha.
Acted before, who's just people that they probably don't find attractive or like in that way, can probably better answer the question. Because at the end of the day, for them, it's just a job. Now, if you're kissing somebody like Olivia Wilde or Zac Efron, then, you know, kudos. But at the end of the day, you're kissing this person because it's a job. And I think you have to get all of your emotions out of the way and just do the job. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Given that circumstance of being an actor, I mean, there's at least 3 or 4 people that are around you, so it would just be weird anyway. So I think even if you did... you had a hard time putting emotions aside or what have you, I think just being in that situation would kind of take any of the romantic feeling out of it. It would just be so weird. You know, you figure there's
right.
at least a director, and there's obviously a cameraman, so it's at least 2. There's probably a sound guy, so that's 3. And, you know, probably someone on light, you know, so it was just, the whole thing just would be so crazy.
You can't forget
but,
about the T-Grips and the Best Boys, because they're all over
course.
The place.
Yeah,
so literally,
who knows?
Yeah, you're having your first kiss with this stranger in front of like 12 people.
Right? Yeah. So that's why I think I would have a hard time doing it if I was ever presented with that situation.
It would be awkward now that you put it that way. I think it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd probably be awkward if it was just
because
kind of like
normally,
a closed set.
You know, if you're single or what have you. The first time you kiss somebody, it's already nerve-wracking. Yeah, sure, exciting, all that, but you're worried about how it's going. Is it good for this person? Do they like it? You're worried about, is there a next step? Do I stay on this step? So you're worried about all that. Now, granted, in the situation we're talking about, there wouldn't be a next step. But you'd still probably be like, oh, I hope this is good. I mean, even though this is just for this project, you know, I don't want to be like, have her tell her friends later how terrible I am. But then there's also people watching you, so now you got, like, you know, because people kissing is pretty gross if you see it in public. It doesn't look like the movies most of the time. It's a lot grosser. So you're like, oh, are these people grossed out? How much are they paying attention? How do I look? It's just be so crazy in my head. There's just no way.
Yeah. I think I would agree with all of that. But
boom.
I think, you know, if
and
you're,
that's how it changed
if you're...
your mind.
No, you didn't necessarily, but it's just it's
oh,
a different
okay.
Point of view. But if you're single and you go to this thing, and if it were real
yeah.
and you're
yeah.
paired up with somebody, I mean, the ice is already broken. It's like,
sure.
hey, you want to go to Waffle House or something? You know, you don't have to. The
right,
kiss is
right.
out of the way. The
no,
awkward
you're right.
part's out of the way.
And you're right. And there's no next step. You know, there's not going to be, like, that awkward moment of, oh, do I move to the next step or do I ask this person to hang out again later? Like, you just know that it's done. When this is done, this is it. It's not going further than this. So that,
right.
You know, there are parts of it, the nervousness that are taken out of it, but I think there's a bunch added to it, too. So it would have been really hard for me to do that. And I'm kind of a shyer person when I'm around strangers anyway. You know, I'm not one to, like, let my full craziness come out and be myself. I'm usually a lot more reserved. So that situation would be very, very difficult for me. Anyway, you know, I'd probably be one of the guys, I'm just going to go outside for a minute and just disappear.
I got to take this phone call.
Right.
I don't have a cell phone, but I have to take this phone call anyway. I think it would be interesting if you put people, you know, instead of having to do, like, the whole courting, you know, you ask somebody, hey, you know, would you like to go out to dinner? You know, there's obviously an attraction. Instead of doing, like, the whole getting dressed up and being nervous and finding a place and the girl's not eating or she's having a salad and the guy's trying not to make a mess, because, you know, guys make a mess and, you know, they're trying to be on their P's and Q's and they're trying to put their best foot forward, and then they go and they watch a movie and, you know, they're trying to have, you know, engage with each other and find common interests, and it's just a lot. And then at the end of the night, if, you know, you kiss the person, and then it's usually at that point that, I think that the sparks fly or the sparks don't fly.
Right.
It would be so much easier, in my not so humble opinion, if you find somebody that you're attracted to, say, hey, I'd love to take you out on a date. Absolutely. Where would you like to go? This place. Okay. And then you kiss, and if there's sparks, then you know, you don't keep those plans. Or plans are contingent on based on how the kiss is. But I don't know.
No,
I just think
that
all that awkward stuff is just awkward, and I think it's kind of unnecessary, especially if that person isn't digging you or you're not digging the person, or after the kiss you're like, that was
right.
An awful kiss, and I don't ever want to kiss that person ever again. So all of that effort that you put into courting this person and getting to know this person all went down the crapper because there's nothing there.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I mean, as you get older, there's not as big of a weight. You know, when you're a kid in school and you're dating people or whatever, there's not usually a huge, huge long wait before that first kiss. But regardless, you still have put in some amount of time and effort, and you're emotionally invested in some capacity. And you're right. I've been in situations, it's been a while, obviously, but more so when I was, like, in high school and college, where there might be somebody, and then, you have that first moment of, you know, kissing or what have you, and you just don't feel it from the start. It's just not, something's not right. Like, part of it's good because you've been waiting for it and you're attracted to this person, but something just isn't fitting right. And then, like you said, you've invested this time, you've been all about this person, you're like, well, that'd be pretty shallow of me to be like, oh, the kissing thing didn't seem right. So, you're like, it's just, we need to get used to each other. And sometimes that probably is true. But more times than not, if there's no spark or what have you, not because of nerves or, you know, you just need to get used to each other. It's just not there.
Right.
So you're right. And it's funny you said that because at the show last night when I was telling you about Aziz Ansari did this whole bit about dating and, you know, differences in time. He also mentioned how he has a friend from France and he was talking to her about, like, dating lifestyles and stuff. He's trying to see how they do it there. And he was like, oh, so, like, what do you do for dates? And they were kind of, like, his friend was kind of, like, confused. Like, what do you mean date? Said, well, like, single people, don't guys, like, come up to you and ask you out? And they're like, no, not really. And he was like, well, what do you mean? Like, you go to a bar, like, you give a guy your number. You know, what is, like, the first text he sends you? And his friend said, oh, that probably would just say fancy a fuck? Question mark. And he was like, wait, what? And he's like, they're just really casual there, apparently. Like, they're just like, hey, want to go out and have sex? Like, no long courtship. It's kind of like a one-night stand at a bar. Getting there doesn't take both people being completely smashed. You know, they're just out. And like, hey, I'm attracted to you. You're attracted to me. Want to do this? And if they say no, you're like, okay, they were physically attracted to me, so be it. You didn't invest a ton of time into that person. It was just like however long you were hanging out with them or spoke to them at the bar or wherever you are. And you get it out of the way. And then you go, if you say yes, you have the attraction, and then maybe it's good, maybe it's not, and it goes from there. So it's kind of like the reverse. And I'm sure this isn't the case for all of France or Europe or what have you, but for his particular friend and people her age, that's how it worked. They just got down to business right away and, you know, decided from that point whether it was worth continuing or not. So I thought that was a pretty interesting story. I know it was a comedy bit, and he was trying to relate stuff, so there's probably some parts that aren't 100% true, but yeah, it's interesting. You're going to think about going from reverse and just be like, all right, let's just do this. Let's do the last possible thing you can do, and then if it's good, cool, we'll just continue from there. So interesting for sure to hear him tell that story.
That is, yeah. I don't know. See, that is, I have to really be into somebody before I even think about getting to that level.
Right. Right, and that's the culture difference, but then again, within each culture, there's different people. Like, there's people that would say the exact opposite of you. Like, oh, I can just do it with just about anybody, you know? Like, I just have to be physically attracted to them, and sometimes not even then, you know? But
I think a lot more people in our country are like you, and people might go through phases and such. Most people do it the more traditional route where they get to know them a little bit before it gets to that level. But it'd be interesting, you know. Again, I don't know anybody from France. I've never really talked in detail to people with someone from Europe, and you know, gotten a good sample size of what people actually believe. But if his trend is indicative of what happens, it's interesting to see the differences in, you know, in people's habits as far as going out and dating and things like that.
It's
so pretty interesting.
Definitely would save a lot of time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Was terrible. So let's just, you know, thanks, you're hot, but it's going to work out. And they're like, cool, you got it, you know. But I'm sure the same type of stuff happens where there's going to be someone's into it when someone wasn't. The whole thing. I mean, you just can't change those kinds of things, but I guess it works a little bit better for them.
Yeah.
Before we continue, for those who've been listening to us for the show, Topher alluded to it a little bit ago, but we didn't give him a chance to say goodbye, unfortunately. If you're wondering what happened to Chris Burson and why the hell he's so quiet, he's actually checked out for the night. He can only stay with us for half an hour tonight. He sent me a text message and wanted me to say that he said goodnight to all you rule breakers. He's happy to be here for half an hour, and he looks forward to hanging out for a full show next time. But he just wanted to make sure I told everybody he said bye and all that good stuff. And now that I've gotten that out of the way, let's talk a bunch of crap about it.
Agreed. No, I was glad that he was able to make this show.
Absolutely.
I think with the three of us, I think it makes it's so much easier to have conversations because you get that third point of view.
Right, exactly.
But being that we don't have that third point of view, I need to find out your point of view on this. I know we're down to our last 8 minutes, but
all right, let's do it.
I was reading an article on CNN.
Whoa!
And
whoa,
I was watching.
Post.
I know. Shocker! I don't know what came over me at all. But the article was, I saw some news articles about it on television also. But apparently, parents are giving their children medical marijuana for health-related issues. And I guess it's, the article was called Weed 2, Cannabis Madness. And Dr. Sanjay Gupta was kind of hosting it. But basically, long story short, you guys can read the article on CNN.com. But apparently these kids have health issues, and the medicines are either not working or it's like pain management, and the medicines, because they're so young, can become kind of toxic to the kids. So they just use marijuana for the pain. I'm trying to find one of the quote that. Here we go. Apparently, one of the parents was saying that that their prescription kind of ran out. And they said not long after the exchange. I'm sorry. He said, I was pleading with them. Look, you guys, I understand your perception, but we are wonderful parents, hardworking members of our community. But apparently they're kind of being ostracized. What are your thoughts on medicinal marijuana for children in health-related issues? Do you think that the parents should just stick with what's legal in this country, or do you feel like if there's another alternative out there that's probably more holistic, then that's probably a better option for their child?
Well, you know, there are some places, obviously. There's a couple of states where it's 100% legal. So if they're in those states, I mean, not illegal, and more states are going that route, and even more states have approved it for medicinal use. On first hearing it, just because we grew up in a culture where even though I could care less if people smoke marijuana, like it does not bother me at all if someone does, I'm not like, oh, they're terrible people or they're degenerates or what have you. I could care less. I mean, it's no different than someone who drinks or smokes cigarettes as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, even with that, I've still grown up in a culture, as of you obviously, where when we were kids and up until last year when it was 100% legal in two states, it was a drug.
So hearing the kid had it was always like, whoa, that's too much. And then you'd have the same reaction with, you know, a kid with a beer or what have you, or smoking a cigarette. But as long as it's not for some of the BS reasons that adults get medicinal marijuana, you know, like something that can be managed by something else, you know, something that doesn't necessarily, it's not a last resort. But even then, I don't think it has to be. If it's something, like you said, it sounds like it's a lot of pain management. So kids maybe who had to have surgeries or grew up with cerebral palsy or who knows, migraines that they have constantly, whatever it may be, that these kids have cancer, they got to go through chemo. I have zero problem with that. Whatever you got to do to help your child get better, as long as it's, you know, approved by a doctor, you're doing it legally and in the safest way possible. Not that marijuana is super dangerous, but you know what I mean. You never know with kids and things that could happen. There's certainly no studies on how marijuana affects children, I'm sure.
Right.
No, zero problem. You got to do what you got to do. I can't imagine having a kid who has cancer, say, and their pain is just so bad and they can't eat because they're so nauseous. I've seen what it does to adults. I can't imagine how heartbreaking it would be to see a kid like that. I would have zero problem with a parent who decided to let their kid have marijuana to help them medicinally. I just don't. No problem at all. I'm assuming you are the same, but who knows? You sometimes surprise me. Here's where it gets tough, because you're right. We grew up in that kind of culture where it was a bad thing. Not necessarily bad, but it was kind of frowned upon. Well, it was illegal. People were getting arrested for it, period. When I read the article, I was a little confused. I felt like, you know, there has to be something else out there that these parents can give their children for, you know, for whatever it is that you know, whatever illness that this child is unfortunately having to live through. And I was kind of against it. If I'm going to be completely honest with you, I was like, no, there. I think this is just another way to get marijuana legal in all states. And you know, there's no way that many illnesses can be subdued by marijuana. But after not only reading the article, but actually talking to some coworkers and some doctor friends of mine, they're like, oh, absolutely, because. For example, there was this kid with epilepsy, and the anti-seizure medicines were not working. And the doctor ended up prescribing medicinal marijuana, not marijuana off the streets, which is a different thing from what I was told.
Of course.
That the child, it didn't resolve the seizures, but the intensity of the seizures have lessened, and the frequency of the seizures have lessened because they were on medicinal marijuana. I think I can do this, and I think my problem was differentiating medicinal marijuana from recreational marijuana, because for me, marijuana is marijuana. You know, it's all pot.
But yeah, this isn't your dirt weed you're picking up on the corner, you know.
Exactly.
Something that's been grown in a safe environment, and they make different strands that are supposed to do different things. You know, it's really, it's medicine. And honestly, how different is it? It might even be better for you than things like some of the painkillers that are out there that are proven to be addictive and proven to be detrimental if used long-term. And people with chronic illnesses or chronic pain are going to use it long-term. I mean, so how is it any different than, you know, someone who can get addicted to opiates or painkillers, things like that?
Yeah. But I'm interested in seeing kind of where this kind of goes. But I guess for you and me, I guess I can kind of speak for us both is that, you know, if it's for the better good of the child, I think we're all for it. You know,
and
as long
as
you're using it for your child.
Right. And you're getting it from a doctor or a dispensary, you know, in a legal state, what have you. You're not buying it for some dude in the back alley or the neighborhood kid, you know. As long as it's medicinal, so you know it's good, it's not, you know, something that isn't going to help.
Exactly. Holy crap, we're down to our last 10 seconds. All right, well, goodbye. It was a lot of fun. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great weekend, guys. I love you, Olivia Wilde.
Thank you.